Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Wednesday, September 30th, 2015. And with me today on OS X El Capitan launch day, Kelly Gaumont. How's it going?
It's going pretty well. You know, El Capitan and all of that. I have been calling it Snowy Mountain because this seems like the bolt tightener, the under the hood spruced up release that we have been waiting for a few versions now. So I'm excited to see it, even though it doesn't bring a bunch of new stuff, because I think it'll just make all of our other stuff that was new last year and the year before work better. And yeah, I'm for that.
I totally get that. And I've been playing with beta for a while, and I've been very happy with it. And I'm so glad that everything has been working well, and that when everyone else is installing it on their computers, it should work fine, because the Snowy Mountain, that's a perfectly fine reference, but having people refer to it as Brokeback Mountain because it froze and they can't quit it, just actually, that's pretty clever. I'm kind of hoping someone has a problem that's recoverable, yeah, just so they can use that line.
I think so. It's going to happen, because you know someone's going to sit at their computer and go, I wish I knew how to quit you.
Yeah, it's going to happen. Anyhow, that's not why we're here. We're here because I thought
the new smell still hasn't worn off our new phones yet. That's why we're here.
That's exactly why we're here. And we've both been playing around with live photos. So I thought it would be really cool to have a discussion about that.
I would like that very much, because Harry Potter pictures make me inordinately happy.
Yeah, I'm really enjoying the live photo thing. And now you have an iPhone 6S, just like I do, which is why we've been able to exchange live photos.
Yes, and it's been fun.
Yes, and for everyone that's installing OS X El Capitan, you will be able to start seeing live photos as well, even if you don't have an iPhone, because the version of photos on the Mac included with El Capitan can display live photos.
Now, yesterday, I wrote an article about live photos and what you can do to share them with people who cannot see them now. And part of that involved importing the images into photos, which I did. But when I did it, it seemed like, and I haven't gone, as of yesterday, well, today, I still haven't gone to El Capitan yet, to Snow Mountain. But the version I have in Yosemite is seeing that there is an image and a video, but it's not really sure what to do about the video until you click on it. Like, they don't have thumbnails, so you just get these rows of alternating. It's a video, and then there's like a still image, and then there's this like icon for a video, and then it's a still image, back and forth. And so I was able to export from original or unformatted audio. I don't remember what exactly Photos calls it, but I was able to export that out to my desktop under Yosemite and then run that through GIF Brewery and turn it into an animated GIF, which is something that's far more shareable at this moment than the live photos themselves are. What I did discover in testing live photos yesterday, additionally, is that an iPad 3 running iOS 9 will play a live photo if you send it via iMessage.
Oh, well, that's really cool. I did not know.
Yeah, I basically was trying all the equipment I had on hand. So I tried my new until Friday 5S, my current until Friday 5S, and they worked fine. They play on there with a long press. You just have to press and hold on it, and then it will play on a 5S. I didn't have an older phone to try, so I don't know if it's an iOS 9 thing or if you need a certain amount of hardware in order to do that. I don't know anyone with an iPhone 5, so I couldn't ask anybody else to try it out for me. And then I tried my iPad. I have an iPad Air version 1, and they played just fine. And then I tried Mr. Kelly's iPad 3, and they also played just fine. So I'm hoping, at least on the tablet side, that maybe it's an iOS 9 thing, that as long as you can run iOS 9, you can play those live photos.
That would be awesome. That means a lot more people will be able to at least see live photos than I originally thought.
So if you have a device that's not one of those things and you're listening to the show and you can get someone with a 6S to send you a live photo, let us know how it goes. I'd really like to have a good list of who's able to see these. Even if you're not able to take them, it would really be nice to know who you can share them with.
Absolutely. And Kelly, if your iPhone is handy, I just sent you a text with an iMessage with another photo I took. A couple nights ago, I went out late at night and had my camera or my iPhone and a tripod and was shooting photos all around Pearl Street Mall, like at 10:30, 11 o'clock at night. So the photo I just sent you is from outside a kite shop on the mall. And it had, you know, this kind of spinning sort of thingies.
Yeah, we have those here because the Oregon coast is huge with kites. So, yeah.
Yeah. So there's a couple of those in the window and they're spinning. So I just sent you a live photo of the spinning kite things.
That's awesome. I can't wait to see it. And that explains why I thought I heard my phone go off. It's in the other room, so it doesn't go off while we're recording.
That's exactly what you heard. Yes. So that'll be waiting for you.
It was your custom text tone, which I made from the Lego movie, which is the robots going, "Everything is awesome."
That's so fantastic. So fantastic. Hey, so one thing you asked me to check when I went out and did the whole night shoot with the iPhone 6S was to see what happened when I did night photos with live photo and just as HDR.
Right, because live photo on and live photo off are different things. And so because of the way that it takes the photo, it's sort of using the sensors differently. So you may end up getting better images if you turn off live photo if you're in low light.
Now, I need to look at my comparison images very closely in Photoshop because so far I'm not seeing any difference.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
There are a number of people who have complained about this that who said, like, this was giving me a hard time until I turned it off. And what I wonder about is how low that light is that they are taking the pictures in, because I'm really curious what it would take in order for a live photo to be something that's giving your devices kind of a difficult time.
Yeah, that would be interesting to know. Listeners, if you are having issues with image quality using live photos in low light conditions, let me know what it is that you're doing so I can replicate it myself. Because I'd really like to be able to see a difference. Now, what I did was created a very controlled situation. And I put my iPhone on a tripod and picked areas where I had like neon lights.
Yeah.
Plus a lot of dark.
Yeah, I shot a few pictures. We went out to a tiki bar here in town on Friday night. And so I shot like out the window. It was still light out when we got our table. And so I was shooting, like trying to get part of the dark interior of the bar along with the window outside, which normally would be a completely screwed up photo. So I took all kinds of different pictures just to see what I could see as far as like how much more could I get into the lens than my 5S, how much more picture can I take? And then also like shooting into the bar where it's much darker, being able to see what the difference is. And to me, it was a lot. You may not have noticed as much difference as I did coming from a 5S because you were on a 6.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And a lot of the photos that I took comparing the 6 to the 6S are strikingly similar. Now, keep in mind, I controlled this as much as I could. So I was using the tripod. And it occurred to me later on, I probably should have done some of the same shots just holding my iPhone to see which one took the shot better with just the natural motion that happens when you have an iPhone in your hands.
Oh, true.
All right, I'll have to give that a shot. Looks like I have another late night ahead of me.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. So, it sounds like you're really liking live photo.
I am. I'm a little frustrated that I can't show them to a lot of people yet. That's really my only hang up right now.
I totally get that. But
yeah, because like I can't drop it on Instagram. I know I said last week, check out my Instagram feed. A couple of people actually commented. They were like, I came to see your Instagram feed after listening to TDO. So if you were one of those people, hi. But I'm really sorry that my Instagram feed was nowhere near as interesting as it should have been. But I know that Facebook has said that they want to make it so that you can natively share a live photo in all its motion capture glory.
That'd be great.
So I'm assuming if Facebook is going to do it, that it will also come to Instagram. And so I don't think it's going to be too much longer before this happens. I am reasonably confident that Facebook has top men on this.
Top men.
Yes.
Yes. Now, speaking of Instagram, the photos some of the photos that I took the other night along Pearl Street Mall in Boulder, I put those on my Instagram account. So if people want to go and see some of the shots that I took with my 6S, just check out my Instagram account. I am Jay Gamut there, just like I am on Twitter, and check those photos out. And I, for the life of me, cannot remember. Are you Verso on Instagram, Kelly?
I am indeed.
There you go. So if you want to look at Kelly's tiki bar shots, check out Verso. And let us know what you think of the shots. Now, since I have you here, and this is your first time to have the bigger phone.
Yeah.
Before I jump into what I really want to talk with you about, how does it feel in your hand?
It's still weird.
Mm-hmm.
It's not quite as comfortable because of the way I like to hold my phone. I've been told this is referred to as the pinky perch method.
Oh, yep, I do that too.
So I have that, and that's generally how I use my phone. And I like doing it that way because I'm wrapped around and on the bottom, so that gives me like three sides of stability. So I feel like that's a good way to make sure that I'm not going to drop my phone. And so far, it's been a little uncomfortable. A few times I have to sort of shift in order to get my thumb all the way across to certain things. Mm-hmm. So I may have to, again, rethink my home screen layout, which is not a problem. It's just something that I have to do occasionally. I had to do it when I went from the 4 to the 5 because I got another row of icons. Mm-hmm. And now I'll just have to probably do it again. The biggest thing has been, I think for me, it's not that much different in my pants pocket. Like, it still sticks out the top a little bit like my 5S did. It is just more likely to sort of tip over and make it so that it's harder to bend my leg.
Okay.
Because it's like crosswise in my pocket. So far, that's been the only thing, because I never leave my phone in my pocket when I get in the car, because I have this little setup where I drop my phone into. In order to play music. So my phone was never in my pocket anyway when I was driving, so I never had to really worry about that. And it doesn't generally live in my pocket like during the day when I'm working and stuff. So it's only if I'm out and about do I really notice that difference. So I'm going to try to compile a list of places where women normally shop and figure out who makes pants that will fit an iPhone 6 in the pockets. Because I'm curious about this.
You know, I have a feeling there are other people that would love to know where they can go buy their pants too.
And if you have a suggestion, if there's some place you regularly shop and you want to make sure that I verify it, I'm happy to do so. Just let me know what it is. Give us a shout over at TMO Daily on Twitter, or the email address is observations@macobserver.com.
It totally is.
Awesome.
You did that really well.
Okay. It would have been better if I'd sounded like I knew what I meant. So yes, give us an email over at observations@macobserver.com, or you can hit us up at TMO Daily on Twitter. Let me know where you would like me to check. And if you need to be that specific, what sort of pants we're looking at. Is it trousers? Is it jeans? Is it, you know, yoga pants? What is it? So let me know and I will absolutely investigate it to the best of my ability.
Awesome. That sounds great. Okay. Now, in the short amount of time we have left, the other thing that I really wanted to get at was your take on 3D touch.
So far, it's limited because it's mostly the system apps, and I don't spend a whole heck of a lot of time in the system apps, honestly. But so far, like, I've been alternating between Spark and Dispatch for mail.
Mm-hmm.
So what I did was I ended up just going back to mail to see what mail could actually do. And it's this right click for your phone, and finding the things that work that way are great. Now, the problem for me is that it's hard to tell. Like, you can't just look at the icon and go, oh, this is a 3D touch app, or it's not.
Yeah, you just have to start pushing.
Yeah, you sort of have to look, and then all of a sudden, like, you're trying to delete apps because now they're all wiggling, and and I've had that happen a few times, looking for apps to see, like, who's got 3D touch and who doesn't. So, so far, I have liked it. I'm not as good at the app switching as I want to be. It doesn't seem to work for me 100%.
Okay, here's the trick with app switching.
Okay.
So you need to do a firm press on the left edge of your screen.
Okay.
So what I suggest is line up your thumb so that half of your thumb tip is on the screen background, meaning whatever app is illuminating the screen.
Okay.
And the other half is off onto the bezel on the iPhone.
Oh, okay.
And then press.
Okay.
And then what should happen is whatever the frontmost app is should slide to the right just a little bit.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
And then if you flick from left to right, then it just swaps you between the last app used.
Okay.
Now, once you have the front screen slid over just a little bit, then press a little bit harder.
Uh-huh.
And then it takes you into the mode that you would normally get where you double tap the home button so you can see all the different apps.
Okay. So another thing I found that actually made it more useful for me was the 3D touch preferences, which are actually in accessibility. So if you are a person who is having a hard time with 3D touch, when I first got it, I had a hard time and it was set to medium. Like the amount of force that you needed in order to activate 3D touch.
Okay.
It was set to medium. And so for me, it was not working. I ended up like wiggling apps all the time because I was never getting there. I was pushing long enough, but it wasn't apparently a firm enough press in order to make anything happen. So what I ended up doing was going in, I went to look for like, is there anywhere I can adjust this or can I walk through some sort of assistant like with Touch ID? Where you put your fingerprints in, you know, touch the target firmly 3 times. Okay, I can do that. Now you know how firm I think firm is. And it turns out that the preference for this is in accessibility. And I set it from medium to light. And now it's much easier for me to use.
Oh, that's
everything
really cool.
Seems to work better for me now. Yeah. So particularly if you are someone with smaller hands, and you know, you can't wrap around and push super hard on your phone at the same time, then maybe you just need to adjust that. And I thought it was sort of surprising it didn't have its own line item as a preference in the settings. So that's part of why I wanted to talk about it, was to make sure everybody knows it's actually under accessibility. If you have the option, that's where you can go and adjust it. And if you find that you're 3D touching all the time and you don't always mean to be, then maybe you need to set it up to whatever the other side of medium is. I don't remember what it is. It might be heavy. But you may want to adjust it up if you find that it's always doing 3D touch to you, even when you don't mean it. So
I like that. And now here's the one thing that I was so disappointed with 3D touch.
Yeah.
So I firm press on apps or app icons that support 3D touch, and I get whatever their pop-up menu is.
Yeah.
I want to be able to 3D touch an app folder and have it pop up the list of apps in the folder.
Oh, you want the spring folder, spring-loaded folders.
I want a spring-loaded folder.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
That would be awesome.
You know what I want? Actually, as awesome as that sounds, you know what I want even more than that?
Do tell.
Now that people are excited about 3D touch, I want people to remember that Apple ships a laptop right now with Force Touch built into the trackpad and actually do something with it. Because I have that computer. And it does, some days it does diddly and some days it does squat. And that's basically, it's two modes. Nothing uses the 3D touch on the trackpad. So this is one of those times, and there aren't many, but this is one of those times when I really, really desperately want something from iOS to come to macOS. And this is it.
Well, maybe now that developers have the ability to play around with 3D touch on the iPhone, it will give them ideas of how they can effectively use this on the MacBook Pro.
That's what I'm hoping, because it was a really great feature that they sort of showed off. Like, look what you could do. Look at this extra method of interaction that you have with your trackpad. And it's not really working. Because nobody's doing anything with it. And I really want them to, because I have it. It's one of the few times, like, I have the new thing and I really want to use the new thing. And I can't, because, like, nobody has done anything to make it interactive. I think in iMovie, like, as you scrub through clips, you will get a little bit of feedback. But that's the only thing I can think of. And I don't spend a lot of time in iMovie. So that's, you know, even though that's a really good use of it, that's not necessarily the best for me, because, like I said, I don't spend a lot of time there. So I would like if OmniFocus, now that they have rocked the 3D touch with iOS 9 on the 6S, maybe they will remember that there's Force Touch on a trackpad and go, oh yeah, maybe we could do something similar if you give like the deep click on the icon in the dock or something. Maybe you could get something new out of that. That would be super duper cool.
That would be awesome.
Hey, yeah.
We're out of time.
Well, let me say one last thing about, because this is about live photos.
Okay.
The first person who builds an app that allows you to turn a live photo into an animated GIF right on your phone and then share it out, that person's going to make Angry Birds money.
Yes. An easy way to go straight from the live photo into a GIF or GIF, depending on how you lean.
Who you are, yeah.
And then just send it right off to other people? Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Whoever makes that, you need to charge $2 and then go pick out your island.
And let me know about the app so I can tell everyone.
I want to know because I also want to tell everybody. Okay, you got a 6S? Here, just get this. I promise. You need it. Just, yeah.
Awesome. I love this plan. Okay, now we're really, really out of time. So, Kelly, thank you for being here today.
Of course. Thank you for having me on.
It's always it's always awesome to have you here. I need to work on my diction.
Words are hard. I get
it. Boy, howdy. Yeah. Listeners, thank you for joining us. Let's do this again tomorrow.